This is Scott, and you are listening to Fine Tune You with Helen, your home for holistically balanced living. Find us at www.finetuneyou.com and enjoy helpful, inspiring, and amusing information. Besides practicing holistic self-development disciplines for over 40 years, additional formal studies have deepened her knowledge and qualifications. Helen is an intuitive counselor, transformational coach, and guided imagery expert. As a graduate of the American Institute of Holistic Theology, Helen has her master's degree in metaphysics and is working toward her doctorate in metaphysics and holistic ministries.
Monastery by Ori Vitislavsky. I just love his gentle, almost ethereal music, calling the angels and spirits together. And as they gather, so do we. We welcome our listeners joining us for the first time this week. I hope you like what you hear and benefit. And I hope you even feel moved to maybe share some of your thoughts or insights. And to those who joined us last week for the first time, thank you for your wonderful emails and questions. Again, to our listeners on the Monday evening rerun show, I do hope you find a way to fit us into your schedule so you can tune in to us live on Sunday evenings. To those listening to our archived shows, welcome. And again, we'd love for you to join us live on Sunday evenings. And of course, to our core group of faithful listeners, we extend our gratitude. We welcome all of you in light and love. Happy Sunday afternoon. We have a few passing showers this evening, but we need the rain, so we're grateful, and the trades are delightful. I so look forward to this special time. It's so good to be here and connect, and to know you are holding, and I am holding. And together we're all holding the sacred space of empowerment. I'm your host, Helen Smalley Bauer, and I like to say guide. So for our new listeners, I want to say, what is Fine Tune You? Well, first and foremost, remember we are nothing without all of you wonderfully grounded people who do hold the sacred space of empowerment while we're on the air. And we cherish our wonderful listener base. You are the foundation of our show and the amazing guests that will be appearing on this program, which reminds me, don't forget, next Sunday, May 9th, we will have as our special guest, Mick Quinn. You don't want to miss this show. He's the author of The Uncommon Path, a book that helps people discover their true success and keys to authentic joy. Don't forget, Sunday, May 9th, 1 week from today, Mick Quinn. It's all of you that are making Fine Tune You the success it has become, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm amazed at the growth you have created, supporting all of us in our journey, giving us permission to share, and giving us this sacred place to come to and connect, to reflect and learn, to teach and become empowered, and then to go out and continue our journey into every aspect of our everyday life. I am grateful. So for those of you who have been moving forward with us on this marvelous journey, we have encountered a few bumps and bruises along our path, because that's life. But nevertheless, we've not been detoured, and we have not been stopped. we have continued making this amazing journey together. You know, Fine-Tune You is a live internet radio program. And I put the emphasis on live because people are listening through the internet from all over the world. And it's live because we're all together right now, in this wonderful time, in this present moment, in this gift to us. What else is Fine-Tune You? Well, we're interactive. We love interaction. You can be part of our interaction through email, where you can ask questions, give us comments, or feedback. You also can call at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Some of you just like to listen and breathe in and embrace the sacred space of empowerment. And that's wonderful. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, we are so glad you are with us. I love how so many of you are staying in contact with me. So if you have questions, and there were a lot of emails this week, if we have time, we may address some of them a little bit later. But right now, let's get back to what is Fine-Tune You. Fine-Tune You is talk radio for your mind, body, and spirit. It's where we practice enlightenment by fine-tuning our mind, our body, and our spirit. And we are careful how we live our lives. Through your emails, we continue to follow the fine-tuning that's happening around the world, individually and collectively. We are so filled with delight for the people who have just started their fine-tuning journey, and for those whose fine-tuning is steadily increasing. And then we have those who are experiencing, reflecting, and deepening their commitment to a whole other level. All of you are such an inspiration. We're all in varying stages of growth, supporting and encouraging each other as we progress along the path of fine-tuning, of being spirit-led, of strengthening our alignment to our soul, of living our life's purpose, and our soul's purpose. Please use Fine-Tune You as a resource, a connecting point, a sharing point for all our divine minds collectively. We examine the spiritual and we challenge ourselves. And I think it's important that we remember that not too long ago, holistic living was really considered eccentric, definitely not mainstream. But today, our holistic thinking, lifestyles, and medicines are considered cutting edge. Today, people realize holistic options haven't got to do with organized religions, but with our spirituality. Holistic living is not in competition with anyone's religion. It's a complement to it. Times and thinking continue to evolve as holistic thinking is being embraced. Institutions are recognizing that many times holistic solutions are the healthier choices. And many of our systems are shifting to holistic ways of thinking and doing things. So as we come together each week to share what's going on in our lives individually, we look at how our choices empower all our lives collectively. And it is this wonderful connecting that I feel. And I am so honored here to be a part of this journey. Now, if you'd like to call in with a question or comment or share your personal growth in your journey, remember, our number is 888-815-9756. Or, again, you can email me at helen@finetuneyou.com. And, as always, your listening support is so appreciated. Other ways you can stay in contact through the week are on Facebook, we're at Fine-Tune You, or you can enter my name, Helen Smalley Bauer. Also, you can just visit our website at finetuneyou.com. You might enjoy going to our website and signing up for our newsletter, and I do have to apologize. This week I sent out a newsletter, and after I sent it out, I realized I had not made the links properly. So you ended up either getting two or three newsletters, the last of which was the correct one. That doesn't happen very often, and I so totally apologize. But the important thing is, I think you'll really like the links. One of them is about true friends, which is a really inspiring story between animals that normally are not friends. And the other is a poem to remind you of your journey. Normally, I send out a newsletter every week or two with something to reflect on and something possibly to inspire you. I do try to include cute or sweet pictures, and occasionally there'll be the cartoon, and always a quote. It's a very, very short newsletter. It's just intended to be a moment to lift your spirit or give you a smile. You can always connect with me by email. That's, again, Helen@finetuneyou.com. And remember also, you can call me during the week at 877-469-5505, extension 1. Please remember we're on Hawaii time. Sometimes I receive calls in the middle of the night because the East Coast is 6 hours ahead of us. That's your noon, our 6 a.m. So if you've called at 10 or 9 o'clock in the morning, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning over here. But if you have a problem and you're in distress, you don't hesitate to call. You call anyway. Now, let's take a short commercial break, and we'll see you on the side where we will discuss our topic for the day, choices.
Are you ready to achieve your deepest dreams, enhance your healing, or offer your best to the world? Then visit us at www.finetuneyou.com, where we've been since 1998. As you search our website, you will find encouragement, inspiration, and amusing information. If you are ready for intuitive counseling, transformational coaching, or a personalized interactive guided imagery recording, send an email to Helen@finetuneyou.com or call her at 877-469-5505, extension 1. O's Acupuncture is where modern technology is blended with Eastern-style wellness. O's approach is to combine the old with the latest scientific technology. He transforms various ancient texts, then uses Hippocrates' principles to combine the best of Eastern and Western healing techniques. O provides you with the latest of modern alternatives, along with the most traditional of Eastern healing techniques. It's time to start taking care of your mind, body, and spirit. Achieve balanced health. Outlive your friends. Defy time. Change your destiny. O's, located at 8 Immortal Center, 1188 Bishop Street, Suite 2409, in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii. Call 548-7711 to schedule your evaluation. Make an appointment today. Call 548-7711.
This week, I'd like for us to talk about our choices, the choices we make throughout our life. I'm going to start with the premise that we know everything that we do in our life is our choice, right? Well, like it or not, it is. Think about it. The fact that everything in our life is a choice is one of the basic truths of the universe, and may I say, one of the universe's toughest lessons. Choice is power, just like electricity. With choice, power exists, possibly over others, but more importantly, it's often a power we just don't use wisely or consistently. Choice is that power that allows us to be ourselves, our real selves, that power that allows us to live the life we imagined ourselves living. Most of us don't want to think about choice as power. It's too hard. It makes us concede and take responsibility for the life we've chosen. Yes, I said the life we've chosen, the life we are living right this minute. Is it scary to realize that you have chosen to live your life exactly as it is today? It might be scary because we may not like what we see when we look at our lives today. And I understand that. But you know what? Knowing, really, really knowing, is also freeing. Now, because we know, we can begin the rest of our journey knowing we are choosing. What will we choose as we look at our life in the tomorrows that lie ahead? What do you envision when you look at your life 5 years from now? What choices are you willing to set into a place to achieve your goal? Remember, we choose. We've chosen how we're living today. We've chosen how we respond to daily challenges. We've chosen our beliefs. We've chosen our friends. We've chosen the foods we eat, the clothes we wear, the streets we walk down or drive down. And like it or not, we've chosen the thoughts we think and the words we speak. We've chosen to be calm. We've chosen to be upset. We've chosen an attitude of gratitude, and we've chosen to criticize. Absolutely everything is our choice. Love is our choice. Fear is our choice. Patience is our choice. And courage is our choice. We're always choosing, choosing something. Sometimes we choose to be our finest selves. Other times we choose to give in to our worst selves. A lot of the time we seem to choose the most convenient or easiest path and end up being our mediocre self. Absolutely everything is a choice. And our choices detail the direction of the path we're on throughout our lives. Our choices detail our past, our present, and what our future will be. Most of us never completely appreciate this truth. We spend our lives making excuses for our weaknesses, complaining about our lot in life, or blaming other people for our weaknesses and or our lot in life. We may argue that we were forced to live in a certain city or drive a certain car, but that isn't really true, is it? And if it is true, it's probably only partially true because of the choices we made in the past. We make choices all day long. And when we do make those choices, what are we doing? We're choosing the path our lives are going to take. Some of you may argue, I did not choose my circumstances. You'd be surprised. We have a lot more power over the circumstances of our lives than most of us want to admit. And even if circumstances are forced upon us, we still choose. We choose how we react or respond in every single circumstance. From the day we understand that we have chosen to choose our choices, that is the day we end our victimhood and are free to pursue the lives we were born to live. When we learn to control our decisions, that's when we live. It's then that we live an exceptional life. So I'm going to ask you, what do you want from life? Consider this another one of those tools I'm always suggesting. You know, meditation, I suggest over and over. Now I'm saying, make this question a part of your life. What do you want from life? It's a tool that we can use to help us understand ourselves. I bet you can tell me exactly what you don't want. But can you tell me what you do want? You know, that's the problem. If we don't know what we want from life, everything we do either becomes an obstacle or a burden. I find it fascinating that when we really know what we want, where we really want to go, obstacles just seem to melt away. Be rest assured, if we don't know where we're going, we can be sure we're going to get lost. Don't say to me, I wish I'd known this when I was younger, but it's too late now. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. Whether you're 6 or 60, the rest of our lives lie ahead of us. We can't change one single second of our past, but we can change our whole future, no matter what our age. Remember, now is the only time we ever have, no matter what our age is. So what do we want from life? What are our dreams and our passions? Think about it. Do me a favor. Go get that pencil and paper and write it down. Make a list. Maybe you've thought about what you want out of life, but never taken the time to write it down. Or maybe you've never taken the time to think about it. And that's okay. Take the time now. Think about it now. Make a list now. Write whatever pops into your head. Do me a favor, at this point, write quickly. Don't analyze what you write. Write down everything, even things you think are unreasonable. The important thing is, write something down. When you're finished, write today's date at the top of the list, May 2nd, 2010. I wrote a list of the things I'd like to accomplish. Put it in a notebook or other special place. Call it your dream list, your bucket list, your journal, your diary, whatever you want to call it, I don't care. I just care that you've written down your hopes and dreams. Write a few ideas that inspire you. Now remember to go back and check that list 6 months from now or a year from now. Go over your list and notice the things you have accomplished. Some of the things you'll notice you've moved past, and they're no longer important. You can cross them off your list. Whatever you write down, chances are these are things you believe will make you happy. Or you may have written something down to make someone else happy. But we all know that when we make someone else happy, we actually make ourselves happy. It's just part of our human makeup. We all want to be happy. You want to be happy. I want to be happy. We choose what we choose because we believe those choices will make us happy. Sometimes we do crazy things. We stop and scratch our heads and ask, "Oh, how could I have been so silly?" Or we'll watch someone else make a poor decision and we think, "Don't they know that's going to make them miserable?" But we all know that the reason we choose the choices we do is because somewhere in our wacky thinking, we've convinced ourselves that these choices are going to make us happy. I don't know anyone who wakes up in the morning and asks, "How can I make myself miserable today?" We're always searching for happiness. We may give this happiness a variety of names, but be rest assured, we are always searching for it. It seems to be the irony of today's world. We know what we need to do to make us happy. We just don't do it. Let's look at the three areas of our lives: our body, our mind, and our spirit. Our body. We know that when we exercise regularly, sleep enough, and just as a side note, as many of us know, many of us are sleep deprived. When we eat healthy foods and make sure our diet is balanced, how do we feel? Well, we usually feel pretty good. And the bonus? We're happier, we're healthier, and we're more fully alive. When it comes to our mind, on the emotional side, when we pay attention to our relationships and focus on the other person, what happens? Our ability to love strengthens and grows. And what happens as our ability to love strengthens and grows? Our overall capacity to be loved grows. We become more responsive, develop a more balanced view of life, and experience a deeper sense of fulfillment. Then on the intellectual side, if we take 15 to 30 minutes a day to read a good book, what happens? Well, depending on the book, we'll probably increase our vocabulary or increase our vision of the world. And the bonus? We're happier, we're healthier, and we're more fully alive. Spiritually, when we take a few minutes each day to step into that silent space and meditate and reconnect ourselves with the universe, what happens? Our spiritual life intensifies. We achieve a deeper sense of peace. We discover our greater purpose, and we have clearer direction. And the bonus? We're happier, we're healthier, and we're more fully alive. Physically, mentally, and spiritually, we know the things that fill our lives with delight and satisfaction. We know what makes us happy. We just don't do it. On the one hand, we all want to be happy. On the other hand, we all know what we need to do to be happy. But we don't do it, or we ignore it. A lot of the things we know are wise choices, we just ignore them. Why is that? Because we're too busy trying to be happy. Okay, let's go back and look at our body one more time as an example. We don't exercise regularly because we're too busy. We don't eat the right types of food because they take too long to prepare. It's just too easy to go through the drive-thru. Why? We don't have the time. We're too busy. We don't get enough sleep because there's only 24 hours in a day. We feel as though our lives have gained a momentum of their own, that they would go on with or without us. Our list of things we have to do just gets longer and longer and longer. We never feel we get caught up. We just get more behind every day. Seriously, when was the last time you sat down, took a breath, and said to yourself, "I'm caught up now"? So we rush around late at night or early in the morning doing dozens of little things before we go to bed or get up extra early to get them done before our other day starts and rob ourselves of the precious sleep that rebuilds and rejuvenates us. Why do we do this? Because we're too busy. Now let's look at our mind. Most of us know that the happiest people on this planet are those who pay attention to their personal relationships. For any relationship to thrive, it must meet one condition: lighthearted, relaxed time. Do we give our relationships lighthearted, relaxed time? Of course we don't. We shove our relationships into 10 minutes here and 15 minutes there time slots. We give our relationships the worst time. The time when we're most tired and least emotionally available. Why is that? Maybe it's because we're too busy. Then when it comes to our intellectual choices, we don't take even 10 or 15 minutes each day to read books that challenge us to change, to grow, or to become our best selves. Again, why is that? We're too busy. Then we have our spirit. Most people very rarely step into the room of silence to reconnect with themselves and their higher power. Why? A lot of times we're just afraid of what we might discover about ourselves and about our lives. We're afraid we might be challenged to change. And we're too busy. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? What are we all too busy doing? For the most part, we're too busy doing just about everything. That means just about nothing to just about nobody, just about anywhere. And it will mean even less to anybody 5 years from now. You know, about 160 years ago, when life was a lot slower, Henry David Thoreau left Concord, Massachusetts because he believed it had become too noisy, too distracting, and too busy. He went off to Walden Pond, you may have heard of that book, to reconnect with himself and nature. It took him only 7 pages into his writings and reflections to realize that most men, people, lead quiet lives of quiet desperation. Most people are not thriving. Most people are just surviving. Just getting by. Just hanging on. It is, in fact, a rare and pleasant surprise to find someone who is truly thriving. Are things getting better? I'm not so sure. Let's think about a few things. We prescribe more medicine for depression today than any other illness. What's the problem? What is missing? What is it that we need that we don't have? How do we get it? We have trouble committing. We're unwilling to make commitments, or once we make them, we don't fulfill them. As great as this crisis of commitment may seem, it's secondary to a more fundamental problem. Most people sincerely want to fulfill their commitments. People don't want to get married and then divorced. People don't want to fail to keep resolutions because they want to fail. Our crisis of commitment is the result of a far more serious crisis of purpose. We've lost our sense of purpose in life, and without an understanding of our own purpose, there can't be true commitment. Whether that commitment is to marriage, family, study, work, relationships, or the simple resolutions of our life, it will be almost impossible to fulfill them without a clear and practical understanding of our purpose. Commitment and purpose go hand in hand. Commitment is the logical and natural response to understanding our purpose. We work to achieve or we reject everything in our lives depending on whether or not it helps us fulfill what we perceive as our purpose. We cannot live without meaning and purpose. I see we have someone online. Let's hold on just one second, okay? Why is depression so dramatically on the rise? I can't imagine anything more depressing than not having a sense of meaning and purpose in our life. We get so caught up in our work that we don't have time for anything else, even the people we love. Is it perhaps that achievement in our work is the only thing that gives us even the vaguest sense of purpose in our lives? Or is it that we, because we consciously or unconsciously believe that our work is our purpose, we completely commit to that purpose and refuse to let anything come between us and the fulfillment of what we have perceived as our purpose? Okay, let's take that caller now. I think we have Susan on line two. Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
This is Susan.
Hello, hi, Susan. Hi. What did you...
I'm calling because I really related to what you were saying about having goals, but then being too busy to pay attention to them. And I'm wondering if there is some kind of a structure or some kind of a reminder that you use to really get yourself back on track.
How long have you been listening, Susan, just as a question to so we know where you're coming from? Are you all one of our new listeners?
I've only listened for two sessions now. Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. One of the things that we really highly recommend that I truly believe help people get back on track when they tend to wander off, which we all do, and I definitely do, is to try to find time in our day to meditate. Is there any time that you have that you might be able to do that?
Well, I understand the benefit of meditating, and I try to get up early to do it, and somehow I only manage to do it 3 times out of 7. So
that's fine.
Somehow I'm not giving it enough emphasis.
Well, I wouldn't say you're not giving it enough emphasis. I'm sure you're trying to figure out where you are in being able to juggle it. Our lives are so busy. The neat thing about meditating is it helps us connect with our spirit to such a degree that we get a deeper wisdom to be able to know what choices we should be making. And that's the only reason I emphasize that. If you don't have...
Did you,
oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Helen, but I wondered, I'm only meditating 15 minutes a day, and even in that time, I tend to wander away in my head. I'm getting ahead of myself in work. Is there a amount of time that you would recommend? Or?
Well, when you wander away, don't worry about it. Don't worry about wandering away. Just pull yourself back to, do you use a mantra or are you just trying to do a mindless meditation?
I'm just trying to breathe and listen to birds and things like that.
I would suggest that possibly for me, because I have a very busy life, I do better if I have a mantra that I use. It can be, you know, grace or love is grace or shalom or aloha. We use that here in Hawaii. And as your mind wanders over to your tasks of the day, pull your thoughts back to your mantra and focus on that. Make it be your forethought and let the other thoughts wander around. Don't worry about them. I have found that 20 minutes works just a little bit better than 15, but 15 is better than nothing.
Well, I'll try that, and I'll keep listening because I think you're speaking some really helpful truth. And thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for calling. I really appreciate it. The other thing I'd like to suggest is if you don't have time to meditate, you might try journaling, because sometimes when we can't focus, if we can get our hand writing and just let it do free writing, we can sort through a lot of things that way. So that would be another thought I would suggest to you. I am amazed. Thank you. So grateful to Susan for that call. What I am amazed about is how many women ask for advice concerning their husbands. I know she was asking for herself. But it seems that many of these women think that their husbands have no time or interest for anything but work. They'll say, he's forgotten the importance of me and the children. And so he sees his purpose as success and achievement at work. And the only place that it seems that his wife and children have in this scheme is the financial support that he gives them so that they have a home and roof over their head, which is very important. But in the process of that, the wife and the children do get their legitimate and real needs neglected. And trying to ignore the quiet dissatisfaction that they sense deep within themselves, the husbands this is, they'll distract themselves continuing with their work, and we all do it in every manner of noise and pleasure and entertainment, anything to keep our minds occupied, we do that. That great meaninglessness that's descended into our lives, and we realize that there needs to be more to life. If anyone else would like to call, the number is 888-815-9756. Right now, let's take a short commercial break.
O's Acupuncture is where modern technology is blended with Eastern-style wellness. O's approach is to combine the old with the latest scientific technology. He transforms various ancient texts, then uses Hippocrates' principles to combine the best of Eastern and Western healing techniques. O provides you with the latest of modern alternatives, along with the most traditional of Eastern healing techniques. It's time to start taking care of your mind, body, and spirit. Achieve balanced health. Outlive your friends. Defy time. Change your destiny. O's, located at 8 Immortal Center, 1188 Bishop Street, Suite 2409, in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii. Call 548-7711 to schedule your evaluation. Make an appointment today. Call 548-7711.
Welcome back. More about our choices. How do we decide what to choose? I think that we all accept that for thousands of years, men and women of every age, race, and culture have sought to understand the meaning of life, and we're no different. throughout history, scientists and philosophers, theologians and artists, politicians and social activists, monks and sages, and men and women from all walks of life have discussed and pondered the meaning of life and how we should live it. And while there have been many discussions, we need to ask ourselves certain questions. These questions have been being asked consciously and unconsciously since the beginning of man. Whether we're aware of it or not, we are constantly asking these questions, searching for answers. We look for answers every day of our lives, and how we answer these questions determines the shape, form, and direction that our lives take. These are some of the questions that haunt most people. Who am I? Where did I come from? What am I here for? How do I do it? Where am I going? They are questions that confirm our search for the meaning and purpose of our lives. They're questions that tug at our hearts. Where did I come from and where am I going? Tug at the core of our creation and the realizations of time and death. Why am I here and how do I do it? Open us to the mysteries of love, joy, misery, happiness, suffering, fulfillment, and discontentment. We live our everyday lives questioning, why am I here and how do I do it? Susan was just asking, how do I do it? We usually become fascinated and preoccupied with these questions, but in order to answer the what am I here and how do I do it, it's necessary to give serious thought and reflection to who I am. Each of us tries to answer these questions in our own way, but where do we begin? It's been my experience that nothing changes a person's life more than the discovery that there is meaning and purpose to life. More specifically, there is meaning and purpose to your life. Today, society tells us that what we do and what we have are the most important things. I think this is a lie, a deception that's led us toward lives of quiet desperation. Two of the most common questions we're asked are, what's the make and model of the car you drive? And what do you do for a living? We live in a work-oriented culture. But this work-oriented approach completely ignores our need to connect the activities of our daily lives with our essential purpose. While doing and having the natural, normal, and necessary aspects of our daily lives, the challenge is to do and be in accord with our essential purpose. In our work-oriented culture, one of the real dangers is we slip into an opera style, soap opera style of living. What I mean is the happenings of our day-to-day living can be like the episodes of a soap opera. In a soap opera, you know, you can tune in 5 years later and it's the same thing. There's always something happening, but nothing ever really happens. In every episode, there's drama. Activity takes place. Words are muttered, but nothing really happens. People abuse one another. People use one another. People talk about one another. People plot and scheme, but nothing meaningful ever happens. Our lives are filled with superficialities, and we are constantly restless and miserable. There is no theme or thread, just another entertaining episode. When the days and weeks of our lives become like this, we tend to get depressed and disillusioned and miserably unhappy. The reason is that without a close ear to our sense of purpose and meaning, the emptiness can be overwhelming. We try to fill the void. We use pleasure and possessions, but we're still empty. There are moments of pleasure, but that's all they are, moments. Our individual experiences cannot be separated from our whole life. Life is not a series of separate episodes. All of life's experiences do play a part in the person we are right now. But the truth is that life is choices. The point I'm really trying to make is that we're not a composite of everything that has ever happened to us, but rather what happens in our lives is almost always a result of those things we habitually think, and those things we habitually do. Life is the result of our choices or lack of them. We are the result of our choices. Every developed choice has its own reward. We need to understand the value of our multifaceted efforts and experience that becomes skilled over time. Our lives need to consist of a train of thought, a direction, purpose. That's what holds our lives together as one whole. We must address our life in each area. Those areas we ignore end up like soap operas. Life is the gathering of the truth. That's our life. We're gathering truth. But we need to remember that any truth we discover must not remain isolated in just one area of our life. Say we know we need to exercise, but we forget about the spiritual aspect of our life. If it's in just one area, only that one area becomes balanced. All truths revealed, we must let them seep into every other aspect of our lives, just like our blood is in all the cells of our body. Our lives and the truths of the universe are one and should be lived as one. What we accomplish in the years of our lives may bring us financial rewards, status, may bring us pain, it may bring us power, and we may have a ton of possessions. But lasting happiness and fulfillment are not the byproduct of doing and having. The truth is a startling contrast to the current philosophies of our present culture. Who we become is infinitely more important than what we do or what we have. The meaning and purpose of life is for us to become our best selves. I'm really saddened by how frightened some people are to wonder or ask what the universe might want for them or from them. What is the universe's dream for us? Do we ever wonder? Let me suggest the universe, our higher power, only wants us to become our best selves. Our higher power, the universe, God, whatever name you choose to use, does not want to control us or stifle us or manipulate us or force us to do anything we don't want to do. Actually, it's quite the opposite. In fact, our higher power will let us do whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it, with whomever we want to do it, and as often as we want to do it. When was the last time the universe stopped you from doing anything? But if we can find the courage within, even if it is sometimes with a timid heart, and turn to our higher power and ask, "What is your dream for me and my life?" Our higher power will whisper in reply, "Be all that you can be. Become your best self." Once we discover and place this purpose at the center of our lives, everything begins to make sense. Until we discover our essential purpose, nothing makes sense, and we wander around and aimlessly, slowly being numbed into lives of quiet desperation. It is our quest to improve ourselves, to be all we're capable of being, to test our limits and to grow steadily toward the best self we can be that brings meaning to our lives. Let's return for just a moment to our earlier discussion of happiness. We discover that our yearning for happiness really is intimately bound to our special purpose in each of the three areas of our life, our body, our mind, and our spirit. We discuss certain activities that bring happiness. Why do we get a deep sense of fulfillment and happiness from these activities? Because they help us fulfill our essential purpose. The activities that help us become our best selves also fill our lives with sustainable happiness. There is a purpose and meaning to life. We were born to become our best selves. In the words of Robert Louis Stevenson, to become what we are capable of becoming is the only end of life. placing truth at the center of our lives and using it as a compass in our destiny decision-making is how we live as our best self. Embrace this one solitary truth. We were born to become our best self, and it will change our lives more than anything we ever learn. For many years now, I've been asking the "What do I want from life?" question. The first several times I made my own list, all I wanted were material things. Then I discovered my essential purpose, and everything changed. I started asking myself, which of the things of my list are going to help me become the best me? The good news is that I did have some things on my list that were going to help me become the best me. I also had a lot of things that were not very good for my essential purpose. The bad news is I had some things on my list that were directly or indirectly going to cause or encourage me to become way less than my best self. So I began reviewing my list and how those items could benefit my essential purpose. Like so many people, I believed that if I could change my surroundings, you know, things, places, and people, that I'd be happier. But by operating from my essential purpose, it's caused me to realize that happiness is an inside-out job. All too often, what's going on around us is only a reflection of what's going on within us. In my own life, I have become intimately aware of this truth that what's going on around us is only a reflection of what's going on within us in so many ways. One example for me is my housekeeping. I would call myself maybe borderline neat, but I have noticed that if I'm overwhelmed or confused or upset on the inside, I stop even my borderline tidying up. I leave things lying around, and before long, the place is a mess. I've also noticed that once the internal discord is resolved, almost immediately, I start tidying up the house. When I'm focused on becoming my best self, I'm deeply happy. It's the pursuit of my essential purpose and only that that satisfies my spirit. When we know we're striving to become our best selves, that alone is enough to sustain our happiness. When we don't have that, all the pleasure and possessions in the world can't sustain happiness in the depths of our heart. We spend our lives in the grip of our desires. Sometimes our desires are good and to our benefit. At other times, our desires are selfish and self-destructive. If there is purpose and meaning to our lives, then the highest levels of living must be linked to discovering that meaning and fulfilling that purpose. It stands to reason, then, that there should be a relationship between the purpose and the meaning of life and our dreams. Earlier, I asked you to stop and consider what you wanted from life and to write those things down. I'd like you to remain open to revising and changing, adding and eliminating some of what you've previously written. My own dream list is constantly being revised. My journal is filled with pages and pages of dreams, everything from places I'd like to visit, books I'd like to write, and virtues I'd like to develop in my own character. And while many of these are exciting to pursue, I've done the exercise enough times to know that the most important dreams in my journal are the ones that help me become my best self. So even though I'm constantly dreaming new dreams, I've learned to dream with my essential purpose at the center of my life. With that in mind, I've developed several thoughts that help me stay centered on my essential purpose. Here's some of my thoughts. I believe that the follow-through of these thoughts will lead to peace, happiness, success, satisfaction, service, wholeness, and holiness. These are my thoughts, but they're also my thoughts for you to consider for yourself. The first thought, I believe, is that we, you and I, have complete control over our mind and body, that we are slaves neither to food nor drink or any other substance. I believe that we're free, in the truest sense of the word, and that freedom gives us the strength of character to do what is right in every situation presented to us. The next thought, I believe, is that we recognize, you know the people, activities, and possessions most important to us? and that we pay attention. We fine-tune our sensors and give each person, activity, and possession the time, energy, and concern that they really should have. Another thought I hold true is that we have the courage, determination, firmness, and persistence to perform the tasks that we choose, decide, and resolve to perform. That we complete each task fully committed to excellence and attention to detail. Next, I believe that as we discover our own unique talent, that we do whatever we need to do to develop that talent. And that we dedicate ourselves to hold on to that unique talent and use it to benefit others. Also, that whatever work we perform professionally, that we're passionate about it. I believe that we can enjoy that rare privilege of spending our days in meaningful work. Do we serve our neighbor, our family, our community, in our occupation? And I believe that while we follow our heart, our worldly needs will be taken care of. I believe that we will grow in wealth in every sense of the word, that we will never be in need, and that whatever our wealth is, we will share it with everyone we can. I also believe that we will or have true love. I definitely have mine. Someone we can cherish and someone who will cherish us. Someone who makes us want to be a better person, that soulmate who challenges us and loves us, a companion who walks with us, knows us, shares our joys, perceives our pain and heartache, and comforts us in our disappointments. And my last major thought is that we discover a deep, abiding peace that permeates the core of our being. That peace that comes from knowing who we are, where we are, and what we do is essentially good and makes sense. That we're contributing to the happiness of others and that we're making progress toward our best self. Sorry. This has been a wonderful week. This has been a wonderful program. I want to thank all our listeners for being part of Fine Tune You and holding the sacred space for us. It's always great to connect with all of you and such a joy. A gentle reminder to put May 9th on your calendar when we will be privileged to have as our guest Nick Quinn, the author of The Uncommon Path. And to all of you, we look forward to you joining us next week when we will continue to fine-tune you.